It was unbelievable. It was such a picture of what God does through women led by the Spirit of God. What God is calling women in this last hour of time. What God is doing in the church through women in the last hour of time. We have no idea. God gave my husband a word, and he said, you're to go to the women of the aisles and tell them that the women will receive their dead back to life again. And that was a revelation to me. And it's like, you go and tell them, this is my hour, this is my heart, and I'm going to move among the women of the aisles. And I take that as England and Ireland and Northern Ireland and Wales and Scotland, the women of the aisles. The women will receive their dead back to life again, but they'll do it my way. It'll be through my blood. It'll be by my power. It will be, I will break the bondage of their pain and their unforgiveness and the religiousness and everything that divides and separates them. Only I break down these walls, and only I can visit them with supernatural life. And we heard it last night that a woman called to life what she did through her life. And I just, we're not going to speak about Hannah, but I just want you to see something. In 1 Samuel, because we're going to end here. This won't be a long message, but praise God, it hits the mark. 1 Samuel, chapter 2. This is, it says, and Hannah prayed. That's what we're going to talk. Do you know tonight? Oh my goodness, we're going to talk about prayer, real prayer, real examples. We're going to talk about a woman of an excellent spirit. But Hannah prayed. And talking about prayer, Sunday night, Lisa Cammy, who is with me back there, is going to be speaking on prayer. This is a woman who prays. You are going to hear from a woman who so does it, who so pushes hell back through her prayers. She's so real. She's so funny. You need to get this tape. If you can't be here with us tomorrow night, you need to get these series of tapes and hear everything God is saying to the women of Ireland. It was a prophetic word last night. God's going to do something again today and tomorrow night through Lisa. Tonight, a woman of an excellent spirit. But today we're going to look at what really does it mean to be saved. You know, sometimes we think, I know that. Oh dear, I signed up for an afternoon conference on what it's to be saved. I promise you the Spirit of God will keep us awake, and not only that, quicken us. Because we have to go back to the source. We have to go back to the foundation. If women are to receive the promise that women will receive their dead back to life again, we have to go back to the source, live at the source, draw from the source. Because you know what? If we've moved away from that, maybe that's why we don't have the dead back. But we know that our Jesus is a resurrected Lord. We know the gospel is about dead men walking. That's always the sign God is with us. The dead raised to life. That's the sign we've got the right gospel. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord, and mine horn is exalted in the Lord. Now here's a woman rejoicing because she knows that she is victorious over her enemy. And it says, my mouth is enlarged over my enemies, and I rejoice in thy salvation. And she goes, one thing I know, that my word is greater than the enemy's word. Where did this one, where, who says these things? Where'd she get that power and that courage to say that? She rejoiced in her salvation. So what is our salvation? Like Lisa said to me the other night, you know, when we say, I rejoice in my salvation, is that where we say, I rejoice in my salvation, I rejoice in my salvation, and we hope if we repeat it enough, we do it? Or do we have to know what we're talking about? Let's see what that really means. When women receive their dead back to life again, and a woman can say, my mouth is enlarged over my enemies, and I know I have an enemy appointed to defeat. Is those just brave words? Or is something happening? What is she talking about? And rejoicing in our salvation. Well, let's go back. What do we know about salvation? The first thing we know is you and I never got saved except that the Holy Spirit first drew nigh to us. We didn't choose God. He chose us. The very first thing that happened is the Holy Spirit starts stalking you and me. And he started coming upon his spirit. He made a heavenly choice. He chose you. He chose me. The goodness of God is what leads us to repentance. After earmarking us out. And I wonder if we could just stop there and let that sink, what that means. He chose us. He came first to us. He began to soften us. And then his goodness led us. His goodness and the plan he has for us and this new life he sees and that he longs for us to have, this goodness led us to repent. And so that is the first thing that happened. Now the second thing is that he led us to a cross. And let me say that the cross represents an ancient agreement. The cross represents an ancient agreement between God the Father and God the Son. And this ancient agreement was a covenant that they made with each other. Because you see, if they make promises to each other, they'll never break them and they'll never fail. When God is not a man that he should lie. If he makes a covenant with himself, he will not break it, and it will not be broken, and it will not fail. It would not fail because somebody missed it, goofed up, forgot, was sinful. That can't happen with God. God made a covenant with himself because he knew you and I couldn't keep covenant. We couldn't make a promise to God. Lord, I will follow you all the days of my life if you will save me. God knew it's impossible for flesh to follow spirit. God says, no, I'm going to make a covenant with myself. And here's what he did. We see in Psalm 89, it says that behold, not there, but Psalm 89 speaks of this covenant, but in another place of scripture, I'm moving fast because we have much to cover, but you know the scripture that says, behold the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He was slain before. In other words, there was an agreement between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. There had to be a cross. He had to be slain before the foundation of the world, before man created in the image of God was ever formed. They came into agreement with each other because they knew the future. And they knew that when they gave man a free will, where it would go. And they decided that their love was worth a cross. They decided they still had to create us. Male and female created he them in his image. Because love is so creative. Because he was not fulfilled without us. He made angels and they didn't satisfy his heart. It took us. And in forming us, they formed a cross first. And you know that God created man, male and female, he created them. When you read the word man, that means mankind. Whenever, if you look in your Bible, 444, Strong's Concordance, that means male and female, mankind. And that man name means Adam. Adam means mankind. And he created Adam in his own image. And he put Adam in a garden for fellowship. In a perfect garden, and we know with Adam and Eve, with no indwelling sin in them, no sin nature in them, because God created perfection, they chose sin. And I've often wondered, and I feel like turning this off for a minute and saying, don't quote me, but you know, I don't think they had belly buttons or navels, do we say? Was I improper? But they didn't have a mark on their bellies because they weren't born the natural way. And I feel like that was a symbol of no inward corruption, no sin nature. Everything was unmarred and beautiful. But they chose sin. God chose us. They chose sin. And so here God makes this agreement, God being three persons in one. The Father, there's this agreement that if God, Jesus, would become a man, he would walk sinless among us. And then God, the Holy Ghost, would indwell the man, and he would know the Holy Spirit without measure. And they would agree, and Jesus said yes, and who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Who for the joy? We're part of his joy today. He's here looking down at us. He's here hovering over this nation. That always brings me to tears. Because it's your time. And he's hovering over you, and he's hovering, and you are his joy. I am his joy. We are his joy. We are his joy. So he endured the cross because we are his joy. So he gladly endured it because he knew that when he, who he delights to do the will of the Father, even though his flesh did not like it, overall, there was an agreement, you see, and they were in agreement together, and it could not be broken, and he would go to the cross. And a covenant was made. And Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame. Let the enemy mock for a season. Oh, let's get this in our season. Let hell roar at us for a season. Let the enemy mock at us for a season. It's just for a season. Jesus despised the shame. He just allowed himself to be naked and stripped, bruised and mocked, that people could rail against him and think that they had it all sewed up. He endured it for a season because he knew he was the last word. He didn't have it. He wasn't. Rejoice not my enemy over me, because it's very dangerous. You don't have the last word. I have the keys, Jesus said, to death and hell. I have the last word. So he endured the cross and he despised the shame. And then he sat down at the right hand of God. He is sitting with all power and all authority, all dominion. Everything that is was created for him, by him, with him, through him. And yet, even that, even though Jesus, the author of all things, and was created for him and by him and through him, this is who was crucified. That we may have the same thing, the same kind of spiritual richness. And then he sat down again at a place of authority where he started out with that first agreement. He sat down again. And God the Father says, this satisfies me. That you and I, when in Christ, when we feel like we, when our guiltiness and our, what we feel is our, and our sinfulness and the wrong things we do, we learn, upward I look and see him there. That sinless man died for my sinful soul, and God the just is satisfied and still looks on me for Christ's sake. That's why you and I can have the worst day, the worst week, and the worst month of our entire lives, and still upward we look and see him there and know that we are totally forgiven because we are in Christ. It is the Father is satisfied with what the Son did. And Jesus said, if I do this, Father, and I sit at the right hand of the Father, I just ask one thing, that all that you give to me for obeying you, all that you give to me for enduring the cross, all that you give to me now in the place you put, could they have it too? Could they have it too? All you give to me, all you do through me, could they have it too? Jesus, the Father was pleased. That's why we have the worst day, and we are forgiven, and we are heard, and we are changed. No matter what we feel, no matter how the enemy mocks us, no matter what the enemy says, we are forgiven for Christ's sake. We are accepted for Christ's sake. We are cleansed because of his blood. We are forgiven because he went to the cross. We are accepted in the Beloved because we are in Christ, seated right beside the Father. Hallelujah. That's where we are. That's our salvation. That's what we have when we walk this earth. It's like Jesus was saying, when they come to me and I forgive them of their sin, could it not just be that they get forgiveness? It's not just I get forgiveness, but could we just give them so much more than forgiveness? Can we give them a supernatural life? Can we give them all that I have? And I was thinking of that. Jesus said, please give them as I am, could they be? And where I am, could they be? All that I have, could they have it too? If they abide in me and I in them, could they have all this? And the answer was yes. And quickly, those three things, as I am, can they have it too? Yes, is the answer. Because Christ went to a cross and did the will of the Father, entered into covenant with the Father that cannot be broken ever, not our sinfulness, not the worst thing we could ever commit, because if we are in Christ, we have a heart to repent, and that sin nature in us is pierced through. It was nailed to a cross. It is not the master anymore in our hearts. Christ is. There's not two masters in our heart. There is only Christ if we've come to him. And trust me, he will have dominion. Sin will not have dominion over you and I if we are in Christ. It will not. Do not let the enemy lie to you and tell you you're a hopeless case. That's not the truth. Christ in us, the hope of our glory, of going from strength to strength. Christ in us. He is changing us. And what he is, it's like Christ is all perfection. And he is our righteousness, and we know this, but he says, I am righteous. Jesus said he is the perfection of righteousness. So he says, now I must give it to them. And so he gives us the gift of righteousness, which is right standing with God. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. We didn't pray enough. We didn't read our Bibles enough. We didn't act right. We weren't loving enough. We didn't put our makeup on right. It's not about us. It's about Christ giving us a righteousness that's not our own. We get his righteousness because he said, if I go to the cross, Father, what I have, can they have? That was the deal. That can't be broken. And so he gives us this righteousness like a beautiful garment. And I've often said it, but I love saying it. Can I say it one more time? It's like a gown. And it's like Teflon, you know, and when sin tries to stick to it, it just slips right off. That's how the Father sees you. You get this robe of righteousness. It is given us. We didn't earn it or deserve it. He gives us this holiness. Why? Because Christ is holy. When Christ, who is holy, lives in us, he gives us his holiness. It's like when a pot is put on a burner, and you know what? The pot gets hot because it's in union with the burner. And we are in union with Christ, and as he is, we are. And I want to tell you something. Holiness swallows up sin. The light swallows up the darkness. And as he is, so we become in Christ. It doesn't happen overnight, but it's happening. This is the salvation we rejoice in. He who began this work will be faithful to complete it in you. Women of Ireland, I speak the truth to you. Everything you need for holiness and change living and impact in your world is found in Christ, who has given it all because he went to a cross for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is what our salvation is. And here's how the enemy comes against this truth. Because Christ gives us holiness and he gives us righteousness. And it's just a gift. We didn't earn it or deserve it. But you know, here's what's happening. First, let me say this. It's a matter of what's called, and many of you know it, but it's called state and standing. And our state and standing are the two things that are happening in our life and in our heart at the same time. And our state is our day-to-day walk. But our standing is where Christ says that we are seated in heavenly places with God. So we have like these two lives going on. We are seated with Christ because our life is in God. Our life is hid with Christ in God. And we are seated in a place of power and dominion and authority by faith. By faith. That's where we live in Christ. That's called our standing. We are standing with Christ in a place of dominion and authority, and the enemy doesn't want you to know that. It's not about whether you're good. It's about Christ in us and believing what he says. But then there's our state, you know, and it's how, you know, Monday's good, Monday afternoon's worse. You know, where the anger comes up in our heart and where the jealousy, the irritation, where we just don't want to bear with this sister anymore. We don't like her and we like not liking her. When these things happen. To borrow Lisa's line. When these things happen in our heart, then we get all condemned. Oh my gosh, Christ has rejected me. I'm no good. He can't use me. The call of my life is canceled. I can't even go to church. I can't pray. And then we just lash out in anger and frustration because we're living a lie and we're believing a lie. Our day-to-day walk, our state, is now the Holy Spirit who lives in us, who is proof that God is with us because God is in us and God is changing us. It's proof that we have the right gospel. We can't live with sin because sin does not rule anymore. Sin is not the master anymore. Jesus Christ, who lives in us, is the master. And we get stirred. And the Holy Spirit convicts us in this state. And we get, something's wrong here. And you and I will be moved. We can't live with sin. We can't. We're moved. We're moved. And if we're truly in Christ, we can't walk with it. And something must be done. Because when we invited Christ into our heart, we asked him to become Lord. So we did. He's not the renter of the heart. He's the owner of a heart. He doesn't need our permission to take down a wall. He doesn't need our permission to change us. You know, sometimes, do you ever... I know you do. Sometimes you really set your heart around things or you want things, you know? But that's just the top of your heart. That's just the surface of our heart. If you've given your heart to Christ, deep at the bottom of our heart is a deep, slow-moving current of the mercy and grace and love of God. And if what goes on the top that can be moved about by the wind and tossed and see, you know, if all of a sudden we put our heart around things that aren't what God wants for us, or our heart has attached itself to an idol, or our heart has, you know, it's being tossed. I pray, Lord, this is what, you know, the issue is right now. But if it's not what you want, I want what you want. Know that at the bottom of my heart is that current of your life. That's all I want. And when they get, you know, I get all confused, I all of a sudden stop and go, Lord, you know, and only you know. If I sound very confusing this day, it's because I am. But I'm yours, Lord. And everything you want and everything I am, that's yours. Because I'm loved, I'm accepted, and I'm forgiven, and it's changed my life. And for so many, you know, we're like our women's director. She does this marvelous teaching on Shechem. And I have to share it with you. You know, Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, she went into Shechem. She left her people and, you know, she went into this place and she was raped and violated. And yet the prince of Shechem, the prince of Shechem, when he violated and abused her, he spoke words of love to her. You know, it's a very strange love. And here's us. Oh, I'm going to say it. Here's us. Sometimes we've gone places before or after salvation. We've been violated. We have been in the wrong. And when we return home, we're bringing shame. She brought shame. She brought her family into confusion, brought them into a war. They acted dishonorably to honor her back. It was a mess. And we've gone places and we've lived places in Shechem. And we've got confused there because maybe we heard more encouraging words in Shechem than we did back home. More validation, more understanding, more sympathy. But I'll tell you, there's an enemy that wants us to say, live in Shechem. You'll be loved there. Live in Shechem. Leave your father's place. It's going to be too hard for you to return. Go to Shechem and stay there. But she can't. She's a daughter of Jacob. She's of the chosen line. And she does return home. And this lady was telling us, you know, but what happened was that she returned home, but it was like Shechem was still in her. And in her own personal journey, she had lived in Shechem as a young woman. And then she got saved and, you know, God is beginning to use her, but she could never conceive. And she couldn't have a baby. And after doing everything they knew to do, still no baby. And the enemy, deep down, she's serving God and loving God. But deep down, it's sort of like, I kind of deserve this, don't I? I mean, I really, look the way I lived before. And Shechem was still all in her, you know, really believing that, you know, the way she had lived before, as if the blood of Christ can't sever, as if the blood can't cleanse. And she knew all that. But you know, sometimes we just know the words in our head, but in our heart is Shechem. And we still believe the guilt and the shame has not yet been cleansed. The blood of Christ has not yet been embraced, not by our head, but by our heart and by our experience. But God is faithful. And she got pregnant. She was so excited, except a few weeks into it, she lost that baby. And she got in the car and she was raging and was like, God, that's not fair. Years and years and years and years and I get pregnant. It's not fair. And all of a sudden, something in her wanted to curse God. And it was like, I knew it. I knew it. You take that life for me. I messed up. And Shechem is just pouring out. And all of a sudden, she wanted to curse God. And all of a sudden, she just said, I trust you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I call you good. I say you are for me. And all of a sudden, the words of Shechem were stopped. And all of a sudden, this other thing started bubbling out. And the Lord would not allow the voice of Shechem to speak through her. Because he says, my daughter, I had to bring you to a point, of exposing the shame and exposing the guilt that you never got rid of in your heart. Even though you serve me, even though you love me, deep down you think that there's sort of this balance. I did bad, so God can only bless good this much. That's not Jesus. He who comes to Christ becomes a new creature and all things are passed away. Do not let the lie and the shame and the guilt of your past cause you to reform an image of God that's not true. But God knows how to get Shechem out of your heart, even though you've left it a long time ago. And where you feel the guilt and the shame still like a cloak around you. Let that go because you've been given a spotless, righteous garment. And you rejoice in the God of your salvation. Let him go to the depths of your being, in the center of your mind, where the inner prisons are. And let the truth yank open that door. And let the light of Christ flood in and cleanse you to the bottom. Because that's our salvation and that's your right. You and I don't live guilt and shame bound saying all the right words in church. No, we have to move into the experience of it. And most times it doesn't happen in church. It happens on a very bad day when we get very honest. We get out of Shechem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where I am. Jesus is really reigning from a place of authority. So he says to us, I give you power to tread on scorpions. That's what he says. That's your salvation and that's mine. The things that would bite us before and cause us sickness or death. He says, I give you power to tread, to walk on the head of that scorpion. Now, we may have all heard messages similar to that and maybe moved off the ground of Scripture, but I want to tell you something. Jesus said this. And these scorpions, it speaks to me of this sin, this indwelling sin in us. It speaks to me of many things, but one thing is this sin. And when we come to Christ, the sin is broken. And sin is not imputed to us anymore. When we mess up, it falls on the Teflon dress, our righteousness given to us like a beautiful robe, and it slides right off. And we have to get in agreement with this. Not that the Holy Spirit can't convict us on our state with wrong thinking, but you and I, that's why we have access to the Father anytime, because when God the Father looks at us, he sees Christ in us with his glory dress on, not the sin we just committed. And the enemy is trying to keep us from the prayer closet because we feel condemned and we hang our heads. And all we see is what we didn't do, couldn't do, shouldn't do. The Holy Spirit will be faithful to convict us, and you and I will be given power to respond, to step on the head of the scorpion and say, you're a liar, you're defeated in my Christ. I know I have failure, but I'm seated in heavenly places, and my prayer will be heard because of Christ's sake, not because I do it right. That's why we can pray. If you're having the worst day, pray and rub it in the devil's nose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then you'll feel the flood of Christ come into your soul because you're trusting him, not your good works, not your good performance, not you've done enough, read enough, moved enough. No, because of Christ. Our trust is in Christ. We're accepted in Christ. I can pray on my, please pray on your worst day. I promise you I will too. Let's defeat the devil. Let's just step on his head. On our worst day, let's tread on the scorpion. The sin is broken. That resentment, that envy, that turmoil, that lack of trust, the fear that wants to move in because the day's ahead. We look at our family and we quake in fear. Oh God, thank you that you give me power to tread on the head of the devil. And when his head is crushed, his mouth stops. Hallelujah. That's where we are. We're seated in a place of authority, treading on scorpions. Hallelujah. One of my most favorite verses when I was, it still is, but there was this verse, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And I was a new Christian. I really didn't know what that meant, but somehow it stirred me. And I was thinking about that scripture that the Lord quickened it this morning. And it's like, my sin nature is dead, and my life, real life, is hid with Christ in God. And it sounds so theological and complicated, but it was like, Lord, it's the key to so much. Could you please open this up for us? Could you open this up for me? My life, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So, all right, I'm dead. Doesn't feel dead, but I'm dead. My life is hid, which means a lot of times that there has to be like an unveiling, and or it doesn't seem immediate or apparent. And as I'm thinking on these things, I thought of my daughter's wedding. She got married in December, and Haley and I and another young man, the three of us worked together, and we were going to do the decorations. And, you know, we thought this would be a great shortcut. We could make it very beautiful with less money. And so, yes, when we just wanted to have it all the way we had it, indeed, we had to buy 1,436 roses, more or less. Yes, to do what we wanted to do. So we went to the flower district, because no way you're going to buy that retail. We went down to the flower district. We looked at them all and, you know, picked out the roses. Now, let's see. The wedding's on Saturday. These have to be assembled Friday. We have to purchase them Thursday. And it's like, my gosh, we got to keep on this timetable, you know, because, you know, we want them to be alive and fresh. And we've got to, you know. And so Friday, you know, we're stripping all the stems, cutting the stems, getting them the right thing to put in these forms. You know, we're working, and then Anthony, and I won't even tell you all Haley did. But anyway, the day of the wedding, Saturday night, yes, indeed, 1,400 and odd roses were there in all their glory all over this room for us to enjoy and celebrate married love. The funny thing that struck me so funny, though, is we're putting these decorations together, you know, and like Haley and I, you know, okay, we've got to do this. Well, if the form's wet and moist, you know, keep them alive, and then we'll do this. And it was like, keep them alive? They're dead. They're dead. Okay, what we want to do is mass that they're dead. Okay, what we want to do is have them appearance that they're very much alive and in their beauty, but they're dead. We're dealing with dead things. And I got the revelation. I am dead. Christ has cut off my connection to the enemy through his blood by the cross. He's not my source anymore. I've been cut off. But sometimes my sin life, and I look very much alive, and sometimes I do, I'm stuck in a moist environment that just kind of gives the appearance that this life is alive, but it's dead. And sisters, we have to, you know, we have to take by faith, for you have died. Your sin nature has died. The desire and the things that rise up and seem to rule us, sisters, they don't rule you. If you are in Christ, you've been cut off from the source of the enemy ruling and dictating your life. People outside of Christ have no control. They are firmly rooted to the source of the enemy, who is the lies, who is death. And they are alive in death, if I may obscure it that much. But you know what I'm saying. But not us. Not us. Our life, it may exhibit for a time this beautiful thing that, you know, sin is flourishing, but it's not true. The flowers were dead. Our whole exercise was, how do we make them the appearance that they're alive till the end of the ceremony and the end of that day? Because my last vision of leaving that hall of the night of my daughter's wedding is people picking up those forms, these beautiful forms of roses, these round circles, and just picking them up and dumping in the garbage. And for a minute it was like, oh, but then I realized, gosh, no, they've been dead for like probably Tuesday. They're not going to survive Sunday. The death will appear Resurrection Day. The death appears Sunday. Wait on him. Wait on him. That his hold is broken. That the death in us and that sin, you know, that's going to pass away. You will see it. Hang on. Believe him. Move into it. Challenge the enemy. Resist him. Say, my life is hid with Christ in God. And maybe for this moment it feels like a victory for you, Satan. But that's not the truth. You're actually dead. You're just a rose stuck in my heart. But you know what? You can't live forever. You're cut off from your source. I, on the other hand, am grafted into Christ. I am rooted to a vine. I have a life flowing through me. And we're just going to wait it out because time's going to prove who has life. My life is hid with Christ in God. Give him time. Don't let the enemy back you in a corner and say to God, now or never. You've got 3 minutes. No, he actually has eternity. And we are hid. And there's going to be an unveiling of his plan and an unveiling of his heart and an unveiling of his purpose in his time. Trust him. Your life source is in Christ, and it's hid from how the enemy can't get at you with his shears. He can't get at you with his pruning things. Your life is hid. He can't find you. He can't find your life source. He can't find you. Christ is hidden this work that he's done in you, that he can't corrupt it and change it. So believe it. Believe it. Hallelujah. I want to close with this. Therefore, if any man, any Adam, any man, woman be in Christ, she is a new creation. And old things are passed away. And behold, all things become new. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. And we're going to quote that to the devil when he wants us to believe it's same old, same old. Now, let's call him a liar because he is. Say, no, you know what? For a season, I experienced this in my heart. But God is the Lord of my heart. I submitted to him, and it's cut off your influence right at this moment because my voice is being lifted to him, and he hears me because he loves me, and he gave himself for me, and he's my deliverer, and he's coming right now, and you feel the peace and the release immediately. It's that simple, isn't it? But I just want this thought came to me as I was praying over this for you, and where it says, if any man be in Christ, he's new. Behold, old things pass away. And yesterday I was putting on my eyeliner, and I don't know why, but I use the same pencil, the same set of eyes, I think, and I draw a line, and it always, the right eye, I never have a problem. It goes on straight and smooth till it drips down my eye, but it stays on. But when I do my left eye, it never comes out the same. No matter how I try really hard, I always hit this little glitch, you know, and it just never goes on. And half the time I have to wipe it and try again. And it dawned on me, I'm forever doing it with my left eye. Forever doing it with my left, till, duh. No. I am about to tell you the absolute truth. I forgot. Except for now and again, but basically I've forgotten I've had brain surgery. I forgot that my left eye was being pushed out of the socket. I forgot at 14 I was facing death. I forgot I had my hair shaved off. I forgot when I entered high school that I was very much alone wearing a wig. I forgot what it was to walk those corridors so lonely and on the outside looking in. I also forgot at the end of the year I was voted potato princess. You might wonder how I forgot the most painful, horrible thing up until that point in my life. How did I forget? At that point, it really was bad. It was a terrible time. And it ended in vanity and silliness. And I forgot that too. I tell you, I forgot. You can ask the people who go to Times Square Church. I have never once in 14 years there mentioned, indeed, I had a brain tumor. I had Well, actually, I had a piece of pencil in my head, but that's another story. But I've had brain surgery. I have holes in my head, proof. And I totally forgot. And so will you. You see, in Christ, those old things will pass away. Give him time. The pain, it will pass away. And what you felt this moment and what all consumes you and maybe the loneliness or the desperation or where sin seems to win and has his way or looks hopeless, I'll tell you, you will forget in Christ. You keep walking with him little by little, line by line. The most impossible things will be forgotten because they pass away. They will be. You will not be the same woman today that you will be a few years down the road. And I thank God in Christ we get better the older we get. The older we get, the more valuable we get. If you are an older saint in the Lord, and this is not age now, I'm talking maturity and spiritual depth, please don't leave us. Please don't withdraw. Please keep praying. Please be at your post. Please, we need you. The older you get, the more valuable you get. There's something that only 10 years in God can't give you. You still don't have that history of faithfulness. You don't have that bondage-breaking smile that those who've walked with God have. Because you've known that old things pass away. They pass away. The most painful things, the most unbelievable things actually pass away. I had to remind myself, yes, indeed, I had all that happen to me. And the only time I even remembered it was because a couple of weeks ago I was at the bedside of a young man who was attacked and hit where his brain, and I went, I had brain surgery too. You know, it was sort of our connection. Forgotten it, largely. Just to minister. It's something, you know, tucked in my heart that I can reach into, that I can minister with. But otherwise it's passed away. Old things will pass away. What you're dealing with today, that is the salvation you and I have. We don't live. You know why we can deal with today's issue? Because we're not dragging a cartload of memory, pain, abuse behind us. It's passed away. We have strength for today and strength to deal with the issues today because we're not having a lifetime of garbage attached to us all the time. That's our salvation. Hallelujah. That's what women in Christ we have. Hallelujah. And so we end on Hannah, where she could say, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My heart rejoices in the salvation. My horn is exalted. I know that my life is appointed for victory. I know my life is hid with you. Yes, there'll be dark days. Yes, there'll be days of suffering. But I will have a deep consolation of knowing whose I am and that he is already in heaven celebrating a victory for me. And he will bring me through to victory. He will bring me through to victory. Then my days will close out in glory. My days will close out because my life's had an impact. I have been full of the glory of God. I've prayed prayers that were answered. I could love people to wholeness, even those that couldn't love themselves. My horn, I won over the devil because he couldn't keep me trapped by the lie of who I believed I was before I was in Christ. I've been reformed, refashioned, given a new mind in Christ, a new heart, a new spirit. And I rejoice, sisters, we have to rejoice in the truth. Not how we feel and not what religion has told us. This is the truth that shapes us and sets us free and gives us the mind of Christ. And we are called to be life givers and to impact our generation with the life first in us that we've experienced where our strongholds have been demolished to Jericho because we've called on God. Not that we're faithful and we have a great big faith. We have a great big God and we kept going to him. Hallelujah. No, she says, my horn is exalted. I win in you. You always cause me to triumph. But my mouth is enlarged over my enemies. And just thinking of this with Hannah, you know, we talked about her last night. And the power of a returned life. She returned what was given her. But you know, she was given a Samuel and she could entrust her Samuel to Eli. At God's bidding. She could entrust what was most precious to her to an Eli priesthood because she knew she was not giving Eli a Samuel into the hands of Eli. She was giving Samuel into the hands of God. She knew she was giving her child into the hand of God, and she could begin to speak to that devil. You are appointed for defeat. You shall not have this child. God has given me him. He is a supernatural life entrusted to me, and I'm giving him to my generation. I give him through my prayers. I give him through my words. I give him through my example. I give him through my failure when I refuse to keep my head low, but I keep looking up, and a supernatural power enters me and into my words, and I speak life to him. And Samuel, all the days of his life, his words did not fall to the ground. Her faith was replicated through her son. And her words had greater power over the enemy. That is our inheritance, beloved women of Ireland. That's your heritage and mine. Now I think I'm just going to ask you if you would just stand with me. Because we just need to shake off the heaviness of the enemy, and we need to learn to truly rejoice in our salvation. We need to glory in it. We need to get in the Word and let the Holy Spirit keep reminding us of what our salvation is. That's how we go from strength to strength. So now everywhere, if you would just raise your hands with me, and you just, in your own words now, you just begin, I want you to speak now. I want you to begin to speak and to thank him and to rejoice in what he said to you today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We shake off the heaviness, Lord. We shake off the sleepiness, God. Hallelujah. We rejoice. Thank you. We rejoice, oh God. It is awesome. It is awesome, this salvation, oh God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for vision, oh God. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you for the life, supernatural life, because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Hallelujah. We enter into your life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We rejoice in this. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Seal this work, Holy Spirit. Seal this work, Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray in the Spirit, oh God, that all over this nation, you would put a red sari on your women. Women, Lord, who have gone down on their knees together and been reconciled. Women who raise up one. Lord, the power of your cross and the power of your blood is equal and deeper and stronger than any stronghold. I thank you for a new power and a new endowment, a new gentleness, a new strength, a new courage, a new glory upon the women of Ireland who have direct access to you, Jesus, and go often and enjoy you and call you friend and walk with you. Thank you. That's what's in your heart when you chose us. And thank you for choosing us. Now, Lord, may this word not be driven from our heart, embedded in us, and let us draw from the truth and the strength of it, God. Let us draw from its truth and the power it brings and the glory. Thank you. We return home with a smile on our countenance, for it is well, for we are saved. And there is much power in a saved woman. There is much power that the Holy Ghost can do and use. So, Lord, we just submit ourselves to you under your mighty hand. And thank you, Lord, that all our days you will quicken us to rejoice in this incredible salvation that is found only in Jesus Christ. And, Lord, we'll give you all the praise and all the glory for all the salvation and all the deliverance and all the healing and all the strength and all the power and all the dominion and all the love and all the glory belongs to you and you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.